Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah David, Minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Seventh Son Congregation, known as now the 12th Hour. Today is September the 7th, 2024. It is 65-2028. We're going to start our first service today with the prayer thought. I'll be taken from the book of Nehemiah. We're going to read from chapter 1. For the words of the Nehemiah as the son of the Hakaliah. And it came to pass in the month Chisru, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of the Judea, of the Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there and the province are in the great affliction and reproach, for the wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with the fire. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the Yahweh of heaven, and said, I beseech thee, O Yahweh of heaven, the great and terrible Yahweh, that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive, and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, my servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments, which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saith, if you transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if you turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence, and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. O Yahweh, I beseech thee, that now thine ear be attentive unto the prayer of thy servant, and unto the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper. I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. And it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes, this is in chapter 2 now of Nehemiah, the king that wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time shed in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of the heart. Then I was very sore afraid and said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be saved? When the city, the place of my father's sepulchre, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with the fire. Then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? So I prayed unto Yahweh of heaven, and I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, for how long shall thy journey be, and when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I and set me a time. Moreover, I said unto the king, if it please the king, let letters be given me for the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come into Judah. And a letter unto Asa, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace, which appertained unto the house and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me according unto the good hand of my Yahweh upon me. Then I came to the governors beyond the river and gave them the king's letters. Now the king has sent captains of the army and horsemen with me. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. And I rose in the night, and I had some few men with me. Neither told I any man what my Yahweh had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem, neither was there any beast there with me, save the beast that I rode upon. And I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, and to the dung port, and viewed the walls of the Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with the fire. Then I went on to the gate of the fountain and to the king's pool, but there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. Then went I up in the night by the brook and viewed the wall and turned back and entered by the gate of the valley and so returned. And the rulers knew not whither I went or what I did, neither had I as yet told it unto the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work. Then said I unto them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lies waste, and the gates thereof are burned with the fire. Come, and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my Yahweh, which was good upon them, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for the good work. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed at the scorn and despised it, and said, what is this then that you do? Will you rebel against the king? And answered I them, and said unto them, Yahweh of the heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore, we his servants will arise and bear, that you have no portion nor right nor memorial in Jerusalem. Then Elisha, the high priest, rose up with his brother, the priest, and they built the sheep gate. They sanctified it and set up the doors of it, even unto the Tower of Meah. They sanctified it unto the Tower of Hananiah. And next unto him builded the men of Jericho. This is Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 2. And next to them builded Zachor, the son of Imri. But the fish gate did the sons of Hasna, who also laid the beams thereof, and set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. And next unto them repaired Meremoth, the son of Urijah, the son of Koz, and next unto them repaired Meshulam, the son of Berechakiah, the son of Meshazabel, and next unto them repaired Zadok, the son of Bana. But I'm not going to read no more about the repairing of the city by those different people. Let's just make that the end of our prayer talk for now. And we have got the same opportunity today. Jerusalem is being besieged in the land of Israel. They're having the war of Zechariah 14 is going on over there. So it means that the city, half the city is going to be taken by the enemy. It's going to be broken and torn apart. And when they get through with the war, the Gentiles that are driving the Gentiles out, the others, they're going to have to rebuild and repair by prophecy. And they're going to have to spend their money to rebuild in Jerusalem. So we still got a little ways ahead of us, a few years. But this is all in the process of being done. Being torn down, like it was back there in Nehemiah's day, and now it's going to have to be rebuilt. Just as soon as that's over with. So pray for our nation of Israel. Pray for our nation of the United States. That Yahweh will prevail with his people and destroy the wicked enemy that is trying to destroy the world. So, help us, Heavenly Father, now as we go into the reading of your word. Thirteen Symbolic Codes, number 5 and 6. Subject, the observance of the Sabbath. It says, the Sabbath is a golden clasp that unites Yahweh and his people, but the Sabbath command has been broken. Yahweh's holy day has been desecrated, for the Sabbath has been torn from its place by the man of sin, and a common working day has been exalted in its stead. For a breach has been made in the law, and this breach is to be repaired. For the true Sabbath is to be exalted into its rightful position as the Yahweh's rest day. In the 58th chapter of Isaiah, is outlined the work that the Yahweh's people are to do. For they are to magnify the law and make it honorable, for the, to build up the old waste places and to raise up the foundations of the many generations, Unto those who do this work, Yahweh said, thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the paths to dwell in. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Yeshua, honorable, that's the Son, and shall honor him, not doing thine own way, or finding thine own presence, or speaking thine own word, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Yeshua, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob, thy father. For the mouth of Yahshua has spoken it. Isaiah 58:12-14. For the Sabbath question is to be the issue in the great final conflict in which all of the world will act as a mark. Men have honored Satan's principles above the principles that rule in the heavens. They have accepted the scurrilous Sabbath, which Satan has exalted in as a sign of his authority, and Yahweh has set his seal upon his royal requirement. This Sabbath institution bears the name of its altar, and a festival mark that shows the authority of it. It is our work to lead the people to understand this. We are to show them that it is of a vital consequence whether they bear the mark of Yahweh's kingdom or the mark, whether they bear the mark of the Yahshua, the son of Yahweh's kingdom, or the mark of the kingdom of rebellion. For they acknowledge themselves subject of the kingdom whose mark they bear. For the Yahshua, this is the Son, has called us to uplift the standard of his downtrodden Sabbath. It says in Mark 2:27 and 8, that Yahshua is also, the Lord of the Sabbath. How important then that our example in the Sabbath keeping should be right. That's taken from Testimony Volume 6 of Ellen G. White, page 351-3. From time to time, questions have come into this office regarding various important aspects of the Sabbath. Before his death, Brother Holler prepared material in question and answer form for a tract dealing with the subject of the Sabbath, since it was never published, and since it is important that we have a thorough understanding of the Sabbath truth, the code takes pleasure in introducing a series of the question and answer articles taken from the tract material. The question to be discussed in this issue is the Sabbath. What is it? When is it? For whom is it? For a truth seeker, right? I'm sending you literature on the seemingly scriptural doctrine that the Bible Sabbath falls on Friday, not on Saturday, nor on Sunday. It looks to me unanswerable. Please give me a strictly biblical reply. Searching examination by the heavens anti-revealing microscope. Heaven's all-revealing microscope. The Spirit and the Word discovers the Friday Sabbath literature to erect the entire structure of its doctrine on Exodus 16. Verses 1 and 2, which is also termed the keys unto Yahweh's week. And so, if with the heaven's own microscope, his position proves to be solidly and securely footed in the fact, then the doctrine is to be reverently accepted. That if such examination of the position proves it untenable, then it should be dismissed. Since the position is based on Exodus 16:1-12, we quote those verses, and they took their journey from Elam and all the congregation of the children of Israel, came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elam and Sinai, on the 15th day of the 7th month, after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness, and the children of Israel said unto them, "Would unto Yahweh we had died by the hand of the Yahshua in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the place part, and when we did eat bread to the full. For you have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with the hunger." And said the Yahshua unto Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from the heaven for thee, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily." And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, "That even then you shall know that the Yahshua hath brought you out from the land of Israel. And in the morning, then you shall see the glory of the Yahshua, for that he heareth you and murmurs against the Yahshua. And what are we that ye murmur against us?" And Moses said, "This shall be, when the Yahshua shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, for that the Yahshua heareth your murmuring, which you murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Yahshua." And Moses spake unto Aaron, saying, "Unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before Yahshua, for he hath heard your murmuring." And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Yahshua appeared in the cloud. And the Yahshua spake unto Moses, saying, "I have heard the murmur of the children. Speak unto them, saying that even you shall eat flesh, and in the morning you shall be filled with the bread. And you shall know that I am the Yahshua, your Savior." Exodus 16:1-12. On these verses, the Friday Sabbath office speech thoughts are presented on the following 14 quoted paragraphs. We are also given the divine connection of the true relationship of the Yahweh's days and Yahweh's months and actually of Yahshua's day. Yahshua is co-equal with Yahweh in the Sabbath. And he was the one that was with Moses in the wilderness, with the son of Israel, the son of Yahweh. And Yahshua's months in the 16th chapter of Exodus, where Yahshua proved unto the children of Israel, which each day of the week was by the falling of the manna, for the first manna fell on the 16th day of the second month, the day after the 15th, the extra 16:1:22. Now this marks the first day of the Bible week, creation week. Now, the 16th day of this second month of Yahweh's year, as is shown elsewhere in this study, is now carried called the Sabbath with the Roman name for the second day on which the manna fell is now called Sunday, and the third day is called Monday, and the fourth day is called Tuesday, the fifth day is called Wednesday, the sixth day of the preparation day is called Thursday, and the seventh day on which no manna fell is now called Friday. For this same relationship is maintained from the creation, for we see there that the first time the moon ever rest of time, which would be the first day of the month, was on the fifth day of the week, Genesis 1:14-18. Now carefully read in the review about the departure of the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, Exodus 12. You will find that they were instructed to keep the Passover, Abib 14, in Egypt, and then leave on the following day, Abib 15, verses 21:5-6, Numbers 33:2-3. We can understand the wisdom of Yahweh in giving the children of Israel his true time, for he was showing them important feast days to keep, and as we will soon see, he was going to give them his laws to keep. According to Numbers 33:2-3, the children of Israel departed out of the land of Egypt on the 15th day of the first month, Abib. It was in their wanderings of the children of Israel that the Yahshua performed one of the greatest of all Bible and miracles that the Yahshua performed, the falling of the manna. Have you passed this scripture over as being only a miraculous feeding of the children of Israel to keep them from starving to death? Yahweh had a deeper purpose, according unto Exodus 16:3. Yahweh's purpose to prove whether they will walk in my law or no. There is an outstanding data given in Exodus 16:1, and they took their journey from Elam, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elam and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month, after their departing out of the land of Egypt. 2.5 or 3 million people have been on this journey for 30 days, and all the provisions they brought have evidently been consumed, and their condition became so desperate on this particular 15th day of the seventh month, Zit, referring to the calendar, that the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron, for they would rather have died at the hand of the Yahshua in Egypt, Exodus 16:3. But on that same 15th day, Yahshua made a promise to Moses, saying, Exodus 16:12, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, same. At the evening you shall eat the flesh, and in the morning you shall be lifted. You shall be filled with the bread, and you shall know that I am Yahshua, your Redeemer. Now, or your Savior. Now, the first morning after the 15th would be the morning of the 16th, the first day that manna fell, and it was. It is declared, and it is carried that this is the first day of the week. For Exodus 16:22 says, they gathered it up every morning for 6 days. Also, see Exodus 16:26. So let us count. Manna fell first on the 16th day of the seventh month, Zif, or the first day of the Bible week, the 17th, second day of the week. 18th, third day of the week. 19th, fourth day of the week. 20th, fifth day of the week. 21st, sixth day of the week. And twice as much manna fell on the 22nd. There was none that fell, for this was the seventh day of the week, or the holy Sabbath of the creation, of the 16:23-30. This teaches us, as it taught them, about the true seven-day cycle, or the Bible week. So we can truly connect together Yahweh's Bible week. Okay, day of week, 1/16th day of Zif, a month. Number 2 day was on the 17th day of Zif. Was on the second day of the week, which would be Monday. The third day, which would be Tuesday, would be on the 18th day. The fourth day, which would be on Wednesday, would be on the 19th day. The fifth day, which would be on Thursday, would be on the 20th day. The sixth day, which would be on the 21st day of Zif, would be on a Friday. The seventh day would be on the Sabbath, on the 22nd. All right. Yahweh's seventh day Sabbath, or Yahshua, is called Friday on the Roman Gregorian calendar, referring once more to the calendar. We use the key week and find that we can trace forward or backward. Tracing backward, we find that the first day of the first month of the first year of a 3-year cycle comes on the fifth day of the Yahweh's week. This new moon shone the first day of the first year of the cycle, always comes in on the day which the Roman calendar calls Wednesday. Actually, Yahweh's day began on the previous evening in regards to Tuesday evening, Roman time, according to Scripture, Genesis 1:23. Since Wednesday is the day of the new moon, and the new moon comes on the fifth day of the Yahweh's week, then we can safely say that the sixth day falls on Thursday, and the seventh day, Sabbath of Yahweh's week, is called Friday, Roman time. A Bible day is from sunset to sunset. Thursday sunset to Friday sunset is actually Yahweh's Sabbath, Yahweh's calendar, pages 3 and 7. These are comments by the Friday Sabbath author on Exodus 16:1-12 reveals that this position has as its basis the assumption that there is an unbroken chronological continuity between the event of Exodus 16:1 and the events of Exodus 16:2-16. For the reason is such as to make it appear that in the evening of the 15th day, the day that the Israelites arrived at the wilderness of Sin, the quail came up, and that in the morning of the next day, the 16th, the manna fell. Upon this day, upon this key premise, the Friday Sabbath doctrine is built, and thereupon it must stand or fall. Let us therefore prayerfully scrutinize it through the all-searching lens of the Spirit of the Truth and the Word itself. Close analysis of the Scripture, the scriptural record, Exodus 16, with the consideration Hill reveals that the only day of the month inspiration name is the 15th as the day of the Exodus arrival in the wilderness of the Sin, Exodus 16:1. For the scripture does not name the day or the month upon which Israel murmured, and it does not name the month or the day upon which the manna first fell, nor the day upon which the quail came up. These facts became absolutely evident when it is noted that not all the time elements of the extra 16:2-12 are chronological, are immediately connected with those of Exodus 16:1, for the verse which deals with the day of Israel's arrival and the wilderness of Sin, verses 2-12, and on the 35 briefly recounts only the most significant aspects of the most significant experiences which befell them during their 40 years sojourn in the wilderness. 2, these verses make it equally evident that none of the events they recount took place on the days immediately following the Exodus arrival and the wilderness of Sin. Any careful comparison of the records will bear out that the events in the point cover a considerable period of time, and that there is a gap in the time between Exodus 16:1 and Exodus 16:2. Also, that chronologically, even the events of Exodus 17 come between the events of Exodus 16, verses 1 and 2. For the fact is that aside from stating the day of the month, the Exodus arrived in the wilderness, to the 15th, the record does not name any other day at all in the connection with either the falling of the mountain or the coming of the quail, but simply points out that the one came in the evening of an unconsecrated day and the other in the morning of an unrecorded or an unrecorded day. Let's do it again. But simply points out that the one came in the evening of an unrecorded day and the other in the morning of an unrecorded day. Furthermore, and again, contrary unto this theory, the manna came first and the quail came days later, as we shall now see. Since the book of the Numbers, chapter 11, records the manna and the quail events in a greater detail than does the extra 16, we shall briefly examine the account as given there. For we remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers, and the melons, and the leeks, and the onions, and the garlic, but now our soul is bowed away. There is nothing at all besides this manna before our number 11, 5 to 6. Being displeased with the murmurings over the manna, Yahshua commanded Moses, "Say thou unto the people, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and you shall eat flesh. You shall not eat one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, neither 10 days, nor 20 days, but even a whole month, until it come out of your nostrils, and it be loathing unto you." Numbers 11, 18 to 20. These and the preceding verses of the chapter definitely disclose that the quail came after the Israelites murmured against the manna, and that after they lost taste for it, they became the more cruelest because of their unbelief in the Yahshua's ability to provide fresh food for such a great multitude. Under their surprise, though, there went forth a wind from the Yahshua and brought quails from the sea, and let them fall by the camp, as it were a day's journey on this side, and as it were a day's journey on the other side, round about the camp, and as it were 2 cubits high upon the face of the earth. And the people stood up all that day, and all that night, and all the next day, and they gathered the quail. He that gathered these gathered 10 homers, and they spread them all abroad for themselves round about the camp. And while the flesh was yet between their teeth, there it was chewed. The wrath of the Yahshua was kindled against the people, and the Yahshua smote the people with a very great plague. Numbers 11:31-33. For these verses of the scriptures bring forth the firm fact that the quail did not come ahead of the manna. Numbers 11:29, 13, 18-23, 31-33. And that they were there not for just one evening, but rather for at least 2 days, Numbers 11:32. This is proof in the absolute that the day of the Israel's arrival, the 15th day, and the wilderness of the sin, Exodus 16:1, was not the day that the quail came, as a Friday Sabbath also. I suppose that today it is surprising to you that he has failed to note that it was not in the Yahweh's purpose to feed his people with the flesh at all during the 40 years. No one could imagine that he was conspicuous to give them meat to eat right at the start, then abruptly to take it away from them and to put them on manna instead. Moreover, had such been the case, then such rather than the contrary would have been the record. Also, it is understandable that just as soon as they saw that there was no way of them making a living in the wilderness, they faithlessly envisioned themselves reduced to want, poverty, starvation, and death, and straightway began to recriminate Moses over their fear anticipated loss, and to cry out bitterly for sustenance, for the food of any kind rather than for a special kind. Being pitiful of their fears and mindful of their needs, Yahshua sent them bread, manna from heaven. Exodus 16:4. Soon, though, they tired of the manna and began to murmur anew in the lust for the fresh food that was not for their good. Thus it was that, though contrary to his wise purpose for them, Yahshua sent them quail, Exodus 16:8. Still, though, the manna, as usual, fell the next morning. So they then had both bread and flesh to feast on, yea, flesh to their fatal full, Exodus 16:12-13, Numbers 11:31-33. Yea, solemnly affirms the psalmist, they spake against Yahweh. They said, then I expect against the Yahshua, brother. They said, can the Yahshua furnish a table in the wilderness? Behold, he smote the rock that the waters gushed out, and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? And he provided the flesh for his people? Psalms 78:19-20. For the logic of the events and the sequence thus established by the psalmist is corroborated evidence. Number one, that the bread, the manna, came down quite sometime after the 15th day. Number two, that it came after the circuit advance into the wilderness of sin, as far as to befit him. Exodus 17:1. For the place where Moses struck the rock, which then gave water. And number three, that the quail came into the camp still after that. To restate it, first came water from the rock, then came down the manna, and after it came the quail. For the psalmist inspired the statement, behold, he smoked the rock, and he gave bread also, and he provided fish for his people. Describes that Yahshua had already caused the rock to give water even before they faithlessly cried out their doubt of his ability to give them bread. And that next they cried out doubt of his ability to give them bread. Then to see and to reckon with these truly chief facts, the Friday Sabbath altar mistakenly assumed that the quail came first, then the manna, then the water. Evidently, he overlooks the fact that Exodus 16 itself shows that the events recorded there cover a period of time. All the days of their wanderings in the wilderness of sin, rather than simply a few days following their arrival in the wilderness of sin. For the events of the chapter include even the spying out of the land, also the giving of the testimony of Yahshua, the law from Sinai, as well as the building of the tabernacle and the furnishing of it, Exodus 16:33-35, Exodus 42-6. All these events are recorded in the same chapter, although, as we have already seen, the first event chronologically to follow the event of the 15th day, the day of the arrival in the wilderness of sin. Exodus 16:1 was the Moses smiting the rock at Rephidim, Exodus 17. For the Friday Sabbath after next day, in the process of the construction history, is a fallacious contention that the eating Exodus 12 assists of the day in which the preparation for the Passover were to begin, but it's not the afternoon of the 14th day, but that it was at the sundown on the 13th day, and that therefore the eating of the Passover, the feast, took place then at the beginning of the 14th day. This he does in spite of the fact that inspiration definitely commands, "Speak ye unto all the congregation of the Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month they shall take unto them every man a lamb, according unto the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day at the same of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of the Israel shall kill it in the evening." Exodus 12:3-6. Carefully mark the command. Specifically, it exacts that the sacrificial lamb be separated from the flock on the 10th day of the first month, and kept alive up to the 14th, not up to the 13th, and killed in the evening of the same day. That is, the lamb was to be killed towards the end of the 14th day, not at the beginning of the 14th day. For the margin places the time of the killing of the lamb between the two evenings. Biblically and traditionally, the one evening is the time after the noon sun begins to decline in the afternoon after 1 p.m. For the other evening, it embraces the period of the dusk from the time that the sun sits to death time. These two limits fix the hours for all the preparations. Thus Israel made all these preparations during the 14th day, then ate the sacrifice during the night of the 15th day, Exodus 12, 18, Leviticus 23, 6, the very night of the season in which, as the Bible plainly states, they not only ate the Passover, but also left the Egypt, Numbers 33:3, Leviticus 23:6. To make this important fact graphically clear, we subjoin the following diagram. And can only tell it to you, we can't show it to you. Just how, therefore, in view of this clear-cut biblical record, one can possibly conclude. As the Friday Sabbath author does, that the Passover feast was celebrated at the end of the 13th day, that according unto the biblical reckoning would be the night of the 14th day, although the scriptures specifically state that it is celebrated during the night of the 15th day, is indeed beyond a fathoming. Not only is the Bible decisive explicitness concerning the time for this important celebration, but history and tradition as well make virtually impossible anyone's missing the fact. Yet in spite of this, and contrary to it, all the Friday Sabbath also is lived into the rationalizing of a whole day cut back of the event, back onto the 13th day, in the order to tailor the time to fit the period. Since he must have read the Bible through, then it is difficult to escape the conclusion that the error seems not so much a matter of misinterpreting as a matter of deliberately sidestepping. Then too, the figures on the chart definitely indicate that he has, in an attempt to make the theory fit with the other events embedded in his study, the erroneous interpretation that the Yahshua statement, 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, means 3 days and three nights in the tomb. Upon this presumptuous premise, together with his misapplication of the time of the Yahshua's crucifixion, the dark part ahead of the light part of the day, and the resurrection, and with his quail manna theory, he builds up the Friday Sabbath doctrine, obviously not reckoning with the inevitability that one day truth must storm its sandy foundation and topple it to the ground. Well, this brings in verse 10, this hour, contact us at the 11th hour call, and that's number 11. Let us now close with a psalm.